This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He writes political economics. He's based in London. And I start with the good news. Why not? After all the bad news in Britain, good heavens, we have what was always an anecdote, which is 1,000 years ago, there were vineyards in Britain. We know this because the monks kept records. The monasteries all were proud of their wines. And the case was made that what we're looking at was a periodic warming spell that sweeps over the maritime climate of Britain and even onto the continent. So now I read in 2022, this is the London Times, English wineries are already bursting with homegrown fizz, every bit as good as champagne. But because of climate change, the country could soon be beating Burgundy at producing world-class reds. A study published in the Viticulture Science Journal says that parts of southern England could become ideal for making red wine from Pinot Noir grapes. Pinot Noir is one of the most common red grape varieties used in Burgundy for high-value still red wine and by champagne houses to produce sparkling wines. Joe, is this was always an anecdote about 1,000 years ago. Is it back or is this premature?
Well, it seems to me that for as long as I've lived in this country, which is nearly 8 years now, there's always been a certain amount of discussion about English wine and hoping that this might finally be the year that English wines will come into their own. But I mean, the bigger interesting thing about this is that one of the arguments about the climate change and climate policy in general has been that you can't assume that warming is uniformly a disaster for everyone. And there's a lot of reason to believe that actually a certain amount of global warming could actually be good for agriculture and the food production that we're going to need to feed the growing human population. So, I mean, do we necessarily need vineyards in England to make sure that everyone is well lubricated along with well fed? That's an interesting question, but this does show that, climate change with it can bring with it, the potential to change agriculture in ways that are good, in addition to some of the costs that there might be.
Now, the climate is the story, and the heat wave that I've reported on these last weeks from the Po River Valley to Aquitaine all the way across France, leading to what we're told are wildfires, similar to what we see in California with the dry underbrush and damage to the infrastructure of France. That heat wave is also Britain in Great Britain. And I noted last week that the grass at Greenwich Park is now wheat colored. People sitting out in the middle of a lawn. We have dry weather here in August in New England as well, and the grass gets brown. I understand that, but it revives. The climate, however, seems to be different this time. Or is it, Joe? Is this 7 years fair, 7 years foul? Or are they saying that you better get used to this and people are buying air conditioners?
Well, it's so difficult to say because, I mean, we've definitely had bad heat waves before. I mean, even just in the time that I've lived here, people can point to examples from the 1970s where there were, heat waves and a drought. So, I mean, that kind of condition every once in a while is not actually that unusual. And you hear a lot of alarmist reports about how this will become more often, will happen more frequently. And yet that all is based on modeling where you don't necessarily know how accurate the scientific models are that are making those predictions. So I think the reality of it today is that we are experiencing unseasonably hot weather. We haven't had anything like the really terrible highs that we had for a couple of days in July, but it has been uncomfortably warm. And we're also very short of rain. I mean, just in the past day or so, it's finally started raining again. But there's no suggestion yet that it will rain now in a volume that will make up all of the precipitation that we have not had over the past few months. And the heat hasn't quite broken yet either. So we're still looking at a pretty uncomfortable next couple of weeks here in the UK.
Trapped in the UK because we go to Heathrow Airport, which is a major exit point if you're flying to America or the continent. Heathrow Airport will extend its cap on passenger numbers for another 6 weeks as the aviation sector continues to struggle. no more than 100,000 travelers a day will be able to depart. Is this a big story, Joe, that you've got to use alternative sources, or you take the channel to France and fly out of France?
This is a huge looming economic problem for the UK to have this kind of capacity restriction at the country's main airport.
We have about 30 seconds, Joe. Go ahead.
Because if this summer it's been tourism that's affected, but the further this goes into the autumn, it's going to be business travel, which is so important for exports, imports, trade, investment. So they've got to get a handle on that situation sooner than October for the sake of the economy.
Joseph Sternberg, Wall Street Journal, based in London, Political Economics. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.